So this show, Drew, opens up about healthcare.
I got some ideas. I'll share them.
I like that because all I hear is healthcare for all or Medicare for all and why it's a bad idea or why the insurance is bad or why Big Pharma's bad. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into it. First, Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch 100-plus TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. They don't even need to sign up. They don't need you to do that. You can watch for free. Easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. I don't know what you're waiting for. Never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and your Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, anywhere else you stream, you get Pluto TV. You watch it for free.
That's it.
And you can check out Chassis. That's my channel, Chassy. Chassis channel number 501. Pluto TV.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for the third month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month's shipment includes a bottle of Vinny's Pure Vitamin Ultra Salt Hangover Cure. Four, count them, four sample bags of Country Archer Jerky, including original turkey, mango habanero, and teriyaki, an Olga Cha-Cha-Cha Blue Apron, and of course, a bottle of your choice. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. It should be going to be a mandate. You got to get on. What's going on there, Drewski?
Babaloo.
Let's, I'm glad Drew is here for a change.
Yeah.
Not for nothing.
That was about the best insult you've ever thrown my way.
I'm just saying.
It was a soft. It reminds me of one of those Bugs Bunny cartoons where he throws a slow ball and people start swinging
at it. That's right. I want to take a little dive into healthcare. Lifelock.com, promo code Adam, and Pluto.tv. Thank them for sponsoring the show.
So let me preface our conversation by saying I am not an expert in public health. I'm looking from the ground up and thinking of solutions. And I'm no expert in this, so please don't take everything I say as some sort of gospel, but I have some ideas. I have some ideas. And I think I know where the problems
are. Well, I'm somewhere in between. Why does the two Tylenol at the hospital, why is it $77 bill?
Yeah.
And healthcare, world-class healthcare, it's not a right that we can just provide for everyone all the time.
Right.
I don't think healthcare or education or anything is like just a right. I think you have to participate in it. And if you participate in it, your experience is going to vary.
So,
with that in mind, if you're destitute and you've been shot, you must be able to go somewhere.
You must take care of that.
And there must be a school within your neighborhood you can walk to.
Right.
But it may not be great.
Okay. So you're advocating initially for sort of some sort of multi-tiered or two-tiered system, which I agree with, that there should be some sort of system for people that really have no resources And there's evidence that even those folks should have some also skin in the game. It helps them. It helps how we relate toward the products
yes,
that we're purchasing.
I completely agree.
Even if it's a dollar, you know.
No,
what I mean?
A thousand. When we used to do speaking engagements, we tell them charge the students a dollar. Don't make it free.
Yeah,
they don't care about it.
Right. So free is humans don't value things they get for free. They tend to not relate to it properly. It's just. That's an axiom in economics. So some nominal nothing that even that could be waived if necessary. But so there's got to be one system that is available and another system that has some sort of market force attached to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where exceptional services is perhaps rewarded somehow. Mm. And it could even be the same doctors working in both systems.
Well, I like the idea. There's a bunch of stuff I like. I like the sort of sous chef kind of thing, where if you can take this nurse and get them qualified to do X, Y, or Z, and they make a third of what a doctor might charge for the same whatever,
right.
That we don't need.
Well, you could even have kiosks doing this.
That's what I'm saying.
You could have
first
technology
first,
doing this.
We
stuff.
Don't need the best and the brightest, you know, giving shots and putting on band-aids and stuff.
My profession has been way too territorial and all that. They need to let that go.
Well, it's your profession and probably insurance stuff where it's like, we need a board-certified
lawyers.
And lawyers. Right. Like, okay, let's first realize that if you drive – Drew.
Yeah.
I was driving down Melrose the other night. I, like, passed the Jiffy Lube, you know? And the Jiffy Lube, I noticed there were like four fat Mexican guys like sort of sitting in the back like doing something.
Yeah.
And I was like, these guys aren't world-class mechanics.
Right.
They couldn't work on an F1 team. Oh. And they couldn't rebuild a car engine, but they can work at Jiffy Lube.
Yeah.
And they can figure out how to do the oil change and the filter change.
And the technology of medicine is such that it's very much equivalent. The urinary tract infections, the upper respiratory infections, you could do it at a kiosk. They do it in England that way.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get people that don't need 14 years of training and hundreds of thousands of dollars in schooling. Let's take the burden off of and let have a Jiffy Lube.
Yes.
If you're not going to get your transmission rebuilt at a Jiffy Lube, they'll just get the fluids topped off.
And you could argue that perhaps you also at the same location ought to have available what are called physician extenders, which would be nurse practitioners and physician assistants that a physician would oversee, would review the work they're doing every day. And that is a pretty good system that will then push through hopefully people that need more care, right? And that can be done very inexpensively. To do that, you first have to have tort reform. You can't do any of this without the lawyers out of this.
Right.
You got to get the lawyers and the insurance company out of this.
Well, it's funny. I've heard 10,000 discussions about these evil drug companies, not heard one peep about the fucking lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Not a peep. It's all the discussions about the drug companies.
A majority of the cost and paperwork to get a drug through the FDA, legal.
Well, how come I don't hear any politicians talking about lawyers?
Right.
I just hear evil drug companies. I hear evil insurance, evil drug. But where's the third corner?
Yeah.
That is lawyers.
Yeah. So that has to happen for this to be free to take effect. Then there's another layer to this that's a relative, which we're about to have a physician shortage, a really serious one, because doctors are sick of practicing medicine. They're dropping out like crazy. It's a very unpleasant way to make a living. And so they're leaving. And not only are you going to have a shortage overall of physicians, we already have a sort of a glut of subspecialists, so that's probably going to be okay. Where you're going to have a real problem is in primary care. So, because primary care has been put upon more than any other part of medicine. So something has to be done to make primary care more attractive. It has to be unburdened administratively, unburdened legally. Something as simple as, here's this one thing that would make everything work. As opposed to have to order a million tests and do all these things, if a doctor could simply say, it was my opinion that this was the right thing to do, and that be an adequate defense,
mm-hmm.
you would save billions of dollars on tests. Because we could use our judgment as opposed to practicing legal medicine, which is to satisfy the lawyers.
Well, do we not know – when I hear Kamala Harris talk about this, how come she doesn't weave in the lawyers?
She, So there's two layers to the lawyer thing. One is tort reform, and the other is it was my opinion that that was the right move to make. That's all you need to do. And here's my thinking. Now, if the thinking is flawed or insufficient or weak, go ahead and attack that. But mm-hmm. if it's just because you didn't order a CAT scan that you didn't need, no. It was the doctor's opinion at the time that that was an adequate move. So – and there should be some substantiation in the literature for those moves too. So you have to be able to defend yourself. So fine. Mm-hmm. Fine. So okay. So that would save billions right there. Then how about for kids that want to go into primary care medicine? And by primary care, I mean internal medicine, family practice particularly, but also psychiatry, gynecology, and pediatrics. But really pediatrics, family practice, and internal medicine are the three that have just been eviscerated. They're just horrible to – in mm-hmm. many cities, horrible to practice. How about you say, we'll pay for your medical school. You go into primary care, pay for your medical school. Done. Paid for. Mm-hmm. That's a $200,000 advance right there, maybe $300,000.
Yeah, well, it seems to me that you have to kind of have this, like they say, holistic approach, which is I would like to talk about a lot of preventable shit too. And I'd do a little less talk about secondhand smoke and a little more about childhood obesity and diabetes and like all the stuff, the unhealthy choices
all
that people
is
are making.
Under that, trauma.
Right.
So we're going to talk about mental health.
Well, I'd like to talk about all that.
Yeah.
Number one. And also, God, you see some of these people walking around at 400 pounds and they're 26 years old and they're like, how much is that person going to cost me? And they're going to need knee replacement, hip replacement. I mean, they're just going to go and go and go. Like my first thing is what are we talking about in terms of what does a fit person cost the system, someone who looks after themselves versus someone who doesn't.
And I would argue, though, that should be separated from the medical delivery system because physicians
and nurses are too busy dealing with disease.
We're too busy. The guy that took out my prostate, I don't want him thinking about my diet.
No,
I want him perfecting that procedure. He did 1,400 of them, zero complication. That's what I want.
Right.
I don't want him thinking about my nutritional needs. Forget.
No, I agree. First things first. We need to educate the schools. Let's think about, I never thought about it, but you think about it. I'll think about it. I didn't learn jack shit at school. And one of the many things I didn't learn is really anything about nutrition at all. And the slop shop had sticky buns and horrible pizza, big square doughy pizza. I mean, it was a carb-loading corn syrup factory that was like the vegetables were canned and for the Korean War and like surplus. It was like everything was a soupy mess.
Yeah.
So
to this day, I've never smelled anything like my grammar school's cafeteria.
Right.
But when I get something like it, I have like an emotional reaction.
All right. So why not start coaching the kids up? I don't mean commercials about eating more vegetables, like PSAs in between TMZ. I'm talking about like a real education on what your body, how your body works
and what goes on. The problem is, though, I agree with that. I think we should make that effort. But there's a giant distance between information and knowledge, information and behavior.
Yep.
Yeah. So they'd have to work on that piece, the change in the behavior.
Well, that's where it begins.
But what do you think of my ideas? They're all pretty good, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So
well, you can't argue
with
that.
That's just a sketch.
Richard, 33, from Wisconsin. Try it again. He had a woodworking question. So.
You're excited.
Yeah. Richard?
Is he potted up there in the...
Okay. Yes, he is. Well,
gone.
Oh, damn. I got one woodworking question. Hey, John, 29 from Phoenix.
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
Hi, guy.
Hey, now.
Hey, I can't even believe this is happening. I've known about you guys for like a decade, and it's just surreal talking to you. But, I wanted to talk because I really love to go to national parks and... I think in the last like 4 years, I've seen a major influx, and I've heard some people talk about how the population is moving more towards national parks, and you see more, and they're getting more more traffic. So, it kind of seems like it's more of a move toward like this weird aesthetic thing. I may be just overthinking it, but it kind of seems like people are less conscious when they're going to these beautiful places. Again, that might be just really cynical, but it just kind of seems like it might be a Facebook thing or like a, you know, like an opportunity to do social media. I don't know. Yeah. I just wanted to know what you guys' thoughts were.
It's interesting. I guess it might be. I don't know. I know that I've noticed the first wave of this was people in like sort of iconic settings, you know, in front of the Duomo in, you know, Florence.
Yeah.
Then art museums. They go to the art museum. They wouldn't look at the painting. They just get a picture in front of the painting and wouldn't even really relate to the painting. So it makes sense to me that the same thing would start to happen with natural beauty as well.
Such a weird – I mean, not weird. For me, my art museum are cool race cars.
Yeah.
But I go walk through all those paddocks and auctions and stuff, and I just stare at the cars. I don't have an impulse to take a picture.
No, I know. Neither of us. We're not raised with that. It didn't even occur to us. People actually get mad. Like, why don't you take some pictures? Well, don't think about it.
The thing that's funny is the only pictures I take are ones where I'm like, how did this guy do his wiring or his safety cage or whatever? Like, take a picture of the inside of that guy's car so we can see how he's doing his safety, whatever, how he's run his fuel lines or whatever. Like a weird, we're going to do that. This guy's got a similar car to mine. Let's see how they did it. Like, there is some of that. I don't mind taking a picture of it, but it's not my impulse. Right. I always find it.
You're sure not doing a selfie in front of it. You're taking a picture of the equipment.
Oh, yeah, I don't want me in it.
Yeah, these are all selfies. He's talking about selfies.
Oh, yo, I don't want to ruin the picture.
He's talking about Instagram poses and things, right? Who's going?
I don't know. I put him on hold because I want to talk to Richard.
Is he back?
He's always says.
Hi, guy. I'm Richie. I always get blamed at work because I'm like the new guy doing woodworking, but they put me on like a crew, like a two-man crew to put in fences, mostly wood and chain link and PVC. And on some of your shows, you've talked about how to develop an eye.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to ask you if you had any tips on working on that.
Eye for fences?
A detail.
An eye for building.
When you start working on your eye, I don't know, where is it? Paul Bryan like showed me a picture of one of our guests from ACS, like on a whatever. And I knew he was on little stilts because he was shooting something. I said how high he was off the ground. Like, you stare at numbers, you stare at tape measures, you start noticing spaces and what those are. And I don't know that you can, I can't bestow it upon you. You just have to stare at things, but you also have to notice things. Also, you have to constantly be asking yourself questions. Like, you have to be going, if I see anything, I'll guess how wide it is. Just instinctively. Wow. I'll just go, that thing's not, you know, whatever. And there's a lot of repetition in that. But it's a part of your brain that you have to exercise. If you do, you can see exactly the size of everything. I know the size of everything. Once in a while, you'll know too much and you'll say, oh, that table's 24 and the table will be 25. And if it's 25, it's based on some metric thing. We don't give SAE doesn't really give you weird odd numbers. Like, if you see something that's 19 inches, it's 350 millimeters or something. Yeah. It'll give an odd, if it's an odd size
for what you're used to,
it'll be something from IKEA that's a metric size. But would you like me to guess things around this room?
My head circumference?
This very room. I don't think I'm good at that. I could tell you like how far away those two black things are from each other or how wide a stripe is or something like that. And I would know, like, I don't know, Drew, how does your brain work? We're looking at a gray stripe in between two black things.
Yeah.
Now, I know what size that is from here. And strangely, do you know what size that is?
Probably not, but I feel like I know more of the orange stripes more than the...
What would you guess the gray stripe is in our studio?
5.5 inches?
Oh, no.
No?
That's way off.
Okay.
That's way too big.
Oh.
It's right in that little that space there. It's just at 4.
Okay.
So you want healthy. Now, from here, it's weird now that I wear glasses. I have to look at it. Here, it could be a...
Oh, he's got a tape measure.
Oh, Gary's got a tape measure.
Right. Do it.
I've got a pinch under 4.
Okay, it's... We're doing it not at the frame, but at the, yeah.
Yeah, this yeah, there, yeah, yeah. There to there.
Oh, yeah. Well, now it looks right.
3.5. Oh, I would have had it as a little more than 3.5.
Do it again.
Do it again for 5.5.
I'm not used to Adam being wrong.
All right. I said a little under 4. Yeah. I should have said 3.5.
All right.
But when you said 5.5, to me, that's an insane, that's an insane guess. It's under 4.
Interesting.
Right. Still, now I'm 10 feet away from this thing. If I got up on it, I'd get within an eighth of an inch. Huh?
More than 10. All right. Let's try something else.
I can't even guess.
Gary, try the dimensions on that timer square.
Ooh, the dimensions on the timer square. All right. Well, hold on. You got to write it down.
Me?
Well, I'll do it and not.
You do it. No, don't tell us. All right, this is good pod. Gary's in here. He's measuring things on the TV set. I'll give Gary some time to measure. I'll tell you about LifeLock. 5G. It's going to be a giant leap for mobile communications, offering lightning speed, more reliable connections, and higher quality streaming video. But could also mean more targets for attacks and easier state-sponsored surveillance. So many threats in today's connected world. Just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. And when personal information is exposed, someone could commit identity theft. You don't want that. Good thing there's LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. These guys, they're the industry standard. It's 2019. Protect your identity with LifeLock. Right, Matt?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
Now, I just want to point out that on the timer, there's a little sliver of black to the left of it. I'm only measuring the gray portion.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I only see it as white.
White,
gray.
Okay.
White portion of it. Now, this is interesting. The way I work is if you hand me something, a piece of wood or whatever, I'll tell you what it is. But this is it's illuminated on a screen. I don't really do much of this. But I'll try to figure it out.
It's interesting to me that it's different to me.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Well, everything I do...
To me, it's equally as impossible. It's all impossible.
All right. So, let me write down my guess.
Yeah, I wrote mine down.
All right. I'm also... See, also when I think about this stuff, I go, is it a whole number or is it random?
Yeah, right.
And when like, is it a percentage of the screen or they go 8x6?
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever it is. Because this feels to me...
Context is a viable way of assessing things, right? You always have to.
Well, I'm also looking at our last stripe that looked like 4 when it's 3.5. So maybe my distance is adding a little something in my brain. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go less than it looks because I just overestimated. I said under 4 to be fair, but I said a little bit under 4. That's
and
a
you
half
understand
inch under 4.
The best I can do is generally rounding to whole inches, maybe halves occasionally.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the best I can do.
I'm going to round down in this occasion.
Okay.
And I'm going to get specific just to be fun.
Okay.
I'm going to go 8.25 wide and 6.25 tall.
Okay, I did 5x8.5. And the number is?
10 wide exactly by 6 3/4 tall.
Wow.
Oh, so I went way small thinking that I'd overshot the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But we're both right there in the height department, right?
You were six. It was six?
It was 6 3/4. Adam was right at 6 1/4. Drew, I think, said 5.
Oh. Yeah. Come on, Drew.
I was way off.
But I was way off in the width department. I should have went wider.
Huh.
All right.
Interesting.
Good pot.
But now that you bring it up, I see why it's harder with the screen part. That would not have even occurred to me.
Well, the Richard.
Richard.
Yeah.
Hi.
Richie.
Yeah, Richie. So you're doing fencing. You're doing, start staring at everything and guessing the size of everything and have Gary come in with tape measure and blah, blah, blah. And just start looking at everything. Don't blow past things. You'll start noticing them.
That's the biggest thing is I don't even notice things that I've just been working on. It's like I'll come back. Someone will come back like in a few days and be like, oh, you didn't throw in a couple bolts there. And it's just like, I don't know. It's definitely a focus thing.
Here's the problem. Physical work is repetitive as shit. It's when you're doing a deck, when you're like screwing off a deck, you're just sinking 1,000 screws all day. It's super repetitive. And your brain tries to protect itself when it's repetitive work. And the way it tries to protect itself is it goes into a sleep mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I've noticed all the time? Whenever I've told anyone to organize anything, they start off pretty good with like the first drawer. By the last one, they've fucking fallen off a cliff because their brain has gone into sleep mode because it's a super repetitive, boring whatever.
Yeah.
And if you concentrated the whole time, it's like your head would overheat or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's this weird dance, this balance you have to have with how is it I can do this and the 1,000th screw will be like the first screw.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you'll see people just start to drift off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there. It's a self-preservation kind of thing. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you will go insane if you just concentrate. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about, that's why you sweat so much when you go in a race car. It's like you're not physically moving. It's insane concentration for insane period. You know, if you drove home and concentrated that way, when you got out of the seat, there'd be a wet spot there. Because your brain wants to go like, let's drift off.
Yeah.
Let's take the pressure off.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so the people who are good and do fine work and do good work, they're able to somehow balance that concentration with a concentrated dose of it that just kind of all the way through the task.
Hmm.
Whereas the people that fall off, they just fall off. At the end, they just start like shoving everything into one drawer and then they go, I'm done. They want to get out. Like they want.
It's a fatigue.
It's a fatigue. Yeah. And all of the physical stuff, when you're sheathing a roof or doing something, it's all repetition. It's 1,000 sheets of plywood. Oh, did you say line 4, Gary?
Talk to Balls.
Yeah, I did. Sorry. We put him on hold and we were halfway through his call because you wanted to talk to the woodworking guy. So I was just trying to remind you. I didn't know you had dropped.
Nah, I got rid of him. Balls.
Hey, how you guys?
Hey, buddy.
From Pennsylvania. What's going
on? Hey now, Balls.
Hey now, Dr. Drew. How you doing there, Adam? I just wanted to call and ask you guys a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
I'd read in an old men's magazine before that when you gain weight or you lose weight, like you lose I think it was like a half an inch of penis size, and when you lose weight, you gain it back. Like, I mean, is that a true statement, or is because it just seems kind of weird to me? And being your doctor, I wanted to know.
You can lose a lot of penis size, and it's two sort of phenomenon contribute to it. One is that when you get obese, adipose tissue creates a shit ton of estrogen. So your testosterone levels drop, your estrogen levels go high. And you'll notice, you know, people that are very overweight often have this sort of relatively small looking genitalia. Some of it is that. The other is what Adam calls the mailbox and the grass issue.
Mm-hmm.
Want to flesh that out?
That's when the guy's got the lawnmower, but he doesn't have the trimmer. And you can't get right up against the edge of the mailbox post, and you start noticing that the grass that's next to that 4x4 that's holding the mailbox post is starting to grow up and getting pretty high. And each inch it grows up, the mailbox post appears to be shorter.
Right. So the fat rises up around the base of the penis, so what's left on the outside is actually shorter. Does that make sense? It's what my friend Mike Cathwood calls a fupa.
Mm.
Your fupa makes your penis sort of retract.
That was in Saving Private Ryan, right?
Fupa, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Gary likes that show. Matt appreciates
see what you started,
the quickness,
Balls?
The nimbleness of
yeah,
the brain.
I was just a little concerned because I've had like a thyroid issue for a while, and I feel like I'm losing my penis size. I'm like, I remember that magazine. I figured I wanted to ask you, and it worried me a little bit.
But if you
I don't want to lose my penis.
If you have a thyroid problem, you should be able to easily restore that to normal. So if you're gaining weight, it is not your thyroid.
Oh, really? He's been switching my medication for a long time now. I'm like, it doesn't seem like – I've even changed like the way I eat and the way I do different things. And I've been trying to exercise more, and it seems like I gain weight instead of lose weight.
That I would say is, I mean, I don't want to be glib about this because thyroid it can be quite easy, but also can be in certain individuals a little bit treacherous. But I would worry that that has more to do with activity and aging.
Oh, geez.
Right. All right, Balls.
What can I do to bring my penis back?
No starch, no grains. Mm-hmm. The Vinnie Tortorich diet. Get yourself whatever exercise plan you will do, whatever the one it is you like doing, whether it is aerobic or resistance training, whatever one you can get going on it. Move more, eat less.
Also, when you're moving ahead with your diet, make sure and read those ingredients kind of things. As I've said, I got
no grains, no starch, no carbs.
But also you'd be surprised like how much sunflower oil is in everything and how much just junk's in everything.
I
make an effort. I got so burned by those sous vide egg bites at Starbucks.
I remember that. Well, listen, Vinny was with us, last week, and I was telling him I was starting to crave donuts and stuff. He goes, what are you doing? Something's wrong. Something's wrong with the diet. And I go, maybe I'm eating a little almonds and cashews. Turns out I was going nuts on the nuts. And that was high in carbohydrate. It was generating some carbohydrate cravings, and I was starting to lose it. Let me show you what I sent him. I sent him a text.
Were you as out of control as the time you almost ate ice cream? DEFCON 5?
DEFCON.
Hey, Gary and Matt, remember the time he passed by that tub of Neapolitan and was this close to eating it?
The ice cream would not be as bad.
One of those rock bottom type moments where you were completely spinning out of control?
This was close to a donut.
I pray
donut.
Your children weren't in the house.
A donut chip.
He almost ate a donut
and
that
almost
one
ate
time.
A potato chip,
oh
too.
Oh, my God, Drew.
Yeah, it was bad. It was a crisis.
Next time you almost eat something, you call me.
I will. But I can't find my text of any. And what I sent him was an article that I pulled out of a medical journal that shows for people with metabolic syndrome, all carbohydrates are bad. Carbohydrates. And I have metabolic syndrome. So I'm hypertensive, hypercholesterolemic, insulin resistant. I've always known that was an issue. I always knew that keeping my weight down and aerobic conditioning stuff was important. But never has it been as effective as just cutting out carbs.
Hold on. My mom said that meat is murder and that, like marathon runners, they eat spaghetti before they run. Not a steak. I remember my mom telling me clearly, marathon runners, they eat spaghetti. Mm-hmm. They don't eat steak. And these are marathon runners.
Right. These are elite athletes.
You are right. That's what she said. So you should reread that article.
Maybe I should.
Mm-hmm. Does carb loading mean anything anymore?
For something like that, it would.
That's what my mom said.
I know.
And she also switched to a heart-healthy whole wheat pasta, which now doesn't taste good, but it's heart-healthy. That means healthy for your heart.
The fact that she has made it to this ripe old age, does she now hold that out as evidence to the efficacy of her philosophy?
Unclear.
Okay.
All right. Check out AdamCarolla.com. Live shows coming all over the place, man. I'm doing stand-up all over the place, so check that out. And Chassis, lots of movies over there to take a look at, CHASSY.com. Drew, what do you got?
Check out This Life. Check out Dr. Drew After Dark. And check out the Dr. Drew podcast, please.
So, also, Fired Up with Brad Jenkins at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew. Say mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.
Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. It's completely legal. And it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for. You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, Chassis Channel. Number 501. It is the best. It is Pluto TV.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.